I'm going to begin tonight with the Srimad Bhagavat Mahima Stotram. Praise of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, written by Srila Sanatan Goswami. This you'll find if you have the Sri Krishna Lila Stava. It's text number 412, beginning there. Sarva Shastradvi Piyusha Sarva Vidhaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvanto Ditaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. O life air of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Shri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya Primavar Yasharayate Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Shri Krishna himself. Mareka bando mat sangin, mat guru man mahadana, man nistaraka mad bhagya, mad ananda namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadu saduta dayin, Ati nicho chatakara hana muncha kadachin mam premna rit kantayospura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. O magyanate mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya Chakshurun militam dena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri chaitanya mano pishtam stapitam dena putale. Swayam rupa katahmayam tadati swapatantikam. Vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha. Shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatam vitam tam sajivam. Sadvetam sadvadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakan vitamscha. He krishna karuna sindo dinabando jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute. Tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye. Pancha kalpadurbrascha krupasindabhevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. So we're continuing with this most auspicious of activities. We're communing directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I dedicate today's reading to Sriman Keshava Prabhu, my dear godbrother, a great hero who died a few days ago stoically, and who was one of the pioneers of the Krishna consciousness movement, who assisted Srila Prabhupada in the early days. He was the first devotee to really break big book distribution loose out of the San Francisco temple, which was the shot heard around the world. Most of the day today, since 1 o'clock, through LALive.us, the Los Angeles temple has been holding memorial service. We've been hearing from so many devotees about the qualities of Keshava Prabhu, and the devotees are bringing out so many of his activities, remembering him. And I was just reflecting how even one devotee who has dedicated his or her life to the process of Krishna consciousness becomes so multifaceted and deep with qualities. I was remembering the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatiya kinchana sarvar gunas tatra samasate sura, that when someone takes to Krishna consciousness because of association with the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially having taken shelter of the devotee of the Lord, then that person becomes purified and all good qualities come out, so much so that even the demigods desire to associate with such a person. So it's always very moving to hear the life story of one who completely sold his heart to Srila Prabhupada and gave his life to spread the Krishna consciousness movement in many wonderful ways. Keshava Prabhu, as we just heard from the memorials, had a great Kshatriya spirit. He was always the protector of the devotees on Sankirtan during Rathayatra and many other. He never backed away from a fight. In fact, as Sri Dainanda Maharaj was saying in his offering, he as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the warriors delight when a fight comes on unsought. So Keshava was always looking for that, and he was always victorious in his battles against those who would try to interrupt the Sankirtan movement. And at the same time, the devotees remembered him as being extremely compassionate. He was a brilliant person at the same time, very intensely compassionate, and all these qualities concentrated in one person. This is the nature of the good soul, means one who is purified, connected with Krishna. So we're on this path, which is glorious because it connects us to Krishna and his devotees, and by that we're assured of success, of going back to the all-glorious spiritual world where there's an eternal festival going on. So we enter into this reading today in that spirit of dedication to the great devotees of the Lord and pray for their mercy. Text number one. I read the introduction last night to chapter 5 of canto 7, and this is Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Text number one. Sri Narada Uvacha Parohityaya Bhagavan Vritakavya Kalisurahi Sandamarkau Sutau Tasya Daityaraja Grahantike. The great saint Narada Muni said, the demons headed by Hiranyakashipu accepted Shukracharya as their priest for ritualistic ceremonies. Shukracharya's two sons, Shunda and Amarka, lived near Hiranyakashipu's palace. Purport. The beginning of the life story of Prahlad is recounted as follows. Shukracharya became the priest of the atheist, especially Hiranyakashipu. And thus his two sons, Shunda and Amarka, resided near Hiranyakashipu's residence. Shukracharya should not have become the priest of Hiranyakashipu, because Hiranyakashipu and his followers were all atheists. A brahmana should become the priest of a person interested in the advancement of spiritual culture. The very name Shukracharya, however, indicates a person interested in obtaining benefits for his sons and descendants, regardless of how the money comes. A real Brahmana would not become a priest for atheistic men. Tauragna prapitam balam prasadam nayakovidam patayam asatu patyan andyam chasurabalakan. Prahlad Maharaj was already educated in devotional life, but when his father sent him to those two sons of Shukracharya to be educated, they accepted him at their school along with the other sons of the Asuras. Yatatra guruna proktam shushuve nupapatacha nasadhu manasamini swaparasad grahashrayam. Prahlad certainly heard and recited the topics of politics and economics taught by the teachers, but he understood that political philosophy involves considering someone a friend and someone else an enemy, and thus he did not like it. Purport: politics involves accepting one group of men as enemies and another group as friends. Everything in politics is based on this philosophy, and the entire world, especially at the present, is engrossed in it. The public is concerned with friendly countries and friendly groups, or enemies, enemy countries and enemy groups. But as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, a learned person does not make distinctions between enemies and friends. Devotees especially do not create friends and enemies. A devotee sees that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamaivamsho jiva bhuta. Therefore, a devotee treats friends and enemies equally by trying to educate them both in Krishna consciousness. Of course, atheistic men do not follow the instructions of pure devotees, but instead consider a devotee their enemy. A devotee, however, never creates a situation of friendship and enmity. Although Prahlad Maharaj was obliged to hear the instructions of Chanda and Amarka, he did not like the philosophy of friends and enemies, which forms the basis of politics. He was not interested in this philosophy. Ekada surarat putram ankam arupya pandava papracha katatam vatsa manyate sadhu yadbhavan. My dear king Yudhishthira, once upon a time the king of the demons Hiranyakashipu took his son Prahlad on his lap and very affectionately inquired, "My dear son, please let me know what you think is the best of all subjects you have studied from your teachers." Purport: Hiranyakashipu did not ask his young son anything that would be very difficult for him to answer. Instead, he gave the boy a chance to speak plainly about whatever he thought might be best. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, being a perfect devotee, knew everything and could say what the best part of life is. In the Vedas it is said, Yasmin vignate sarvam evam vignatum bhavati. If one properly understands God, he can understand any subject matter very nicely. Sometimes we have to challenge big scientists and philosophers, but by the grace of Krishna we emerge successful. It is impossible, practically speaking, for ordinary men to challenge scientists or philosophers concerning genuine knowledge, but a devotee can challenge them, because the best of everything is known to a devotee by the grace of Krishna. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.11, Tesham evanukam partam aham ajnana jam tamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto jnanadhipena basvata. Krishna, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, as the Supersoul, dissipates all the ignorance from the heart of a devotee. As a special favor, he enlightens the devotees with all knowledge by putting before him the torch of light. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, knew the best of knowledge, and when his father inquired from him, Prahlad gave him that knowledge. Prahlad Maharaj was able to solve the most difficult parts of problems because of his advanced Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he replied as follows. Shri Prahlad uvacha tatsadu manye suravarya dehinam sadasamut vignadiham asat grahat hitvatma patang grihamanda kupam vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarver gunastatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manoratena siti dhavato bhi. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no good qualifications. Because he is engaged in mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Bhagavatam 5.18.12. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is asato ma jyotirgama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apashyatam atmatatvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to the life of a grihastha or householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, Vana. In the Varnashram system, one first becomes a brahmachari, then a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Going to the forest means accepting vanaprastha life, which is between grihastha life and sannyas. As confirmed in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, Varnashrama Bacharata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Aradyate. By accepting the institution of Varna and Ashram, one can very easily elevate himself to the platform of worshipping Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot within the material world, and his life will be a failure. Society must have divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and for spiritual advancement, one must gradually develop as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi. Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept vanaprastha life, because as a grihastha, he was becoming increasingly demoniac due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting vanaprastha life will be better than going deeper and deeper into griham andakupam, the blind well of life as a grihastha. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Text 6. Shinardu uvacha shutvaputra griho daitya parapaksha samahita jahasa buddhir balanam bidyate para buddhihi. Narada Muni continued, when Prahlad Maharaj spoke about the path of self-realization and devotional service, thus being faithful to the camp of his father's enemies, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, heard Prahlad's words, and he laughingly said, "This is the intelligence of children spoiled by the words of the enemy." Purport. Hiranyakashipu, being a demon, would always consider Lord Vishnu and his devotees to be his enemies. Therefore, the word parapaksha, on the side of the enemy, is used here. Hiranyakashipu never agreed with the words of Vishnu or Krishna. Rather, he was angered by the intelligence of a Vaishnava. Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna says, Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. But demons like Hiranyakashipu never agree to do this. Therefore, Krishna says, Namam duskritinu mudha prapadyante naradama maya apritagyana asuram bhavamashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Bhagavad Gita 7:15. The asura bhav, the asuric, the atheistic nature, is directly represented by Hiranyakashipu. Such persons, being mudha and naradama, fools and rascals, the lowest of men, would never accept Vishnu as the supreme and surrender to him. Hiranyakashipu naturally became increasingly angry that his son Prahlad was being influenced by the camp of the enemies. He therefore asked that the saintly persons like Narada not be allowed within the residential quarters of his son, for otherwise Prahlad would be further spoiled by Vaishnav instructions. 7. Samyag vidharyatam palo guru gehe dvijatibihi Vishnu pakshai pratichannair na bidyetasyadhir yata. Hiranyakashipu advised his assistants, my dear demons, give complete protection to this boy at the Gurukula where he is instructed, so that his intelligence will not be further influenced by Vaishnavas who may go there in disguise. Purport, in our Krishna consciousness movement, the tactic of dressing oneself like an ordinary karmi is necessary because everyone in the demoniac kingdom is against Vaishnava teachings. Krishna consciousness is not at all to the liking of the demons of the present age. As soon as they see a Vaishnava dressed in a saffron garment with beads on his neck and tilak on his forehead, they are immediately irritated. They criticize the Vaishnavas by sarcastically saying, Hare Krishna, and some people also chant Hare Krishna sincerely. In either case, since Hare Krishna is absolute, whether one chants it jokingly or sincerely, it will have its effect. The Vaishnavas are pleased when the demons chant Hare Krishna because this shows that the Hare Krishna movement is taking ground. The greater demons like Hiranyakashipu are always prepared to chastise the Vaishnavas, and they try to make arrangements so that Vaishnavas will not come to sell their books and preach Krishna consciousness. Thus, what was done by Hiranyakashipu long, long ago is still being done. That is the way of materialistic life. Demons or materialists do not at all like the advancement of Krishna consciousness, and they try to hinder it in so many ways. Yet the preachers of Krishna consciousness must go forward in their Vaishnava dress or in any other dress for the purpose of preaching. Chanakya Pandit says that if an honest person deals with a great cheater, it is necessary for him to become a cheater also, not for the purpose of cheating, but to make his preaching successful. Text 8. Griham anitam ahuya praradam daitya yajakaha prashasya shlakshnaya vacha samaprachantasamibihi. When Hiranyakashipu's servants brought the boy Prahlad back to the Gurukula, the place where the Brahmins taught the boys, the priests of the demons, Shanda and Amarka, pacified him. With very mild voices and affectionate words, they inquired from him as follows. Purport, Shanda and Amarka, the priests of the demons, were eager to know from Prahlad Maharaj who the Vaishnavas were that came to instruct him in Krishna consciousness. Their purpose was to discover the names of these Vaishnavas. In the beginning, they did not threaten the boy because when threatened, he might not identify the real culprits. Therefore, they very mildly and peacefully inquired as follows. Vatsa prarada badram te satyam kataya mamrsha balam ati kutastubhyam esha bhudi viparya yaha. Dear son Prahlad, all peace and good fortune unto you. Kindly do not speak lies. Just reply with the truth. These boys, you see, are not like you, for they do not speak in a deviant way. How have you learned these instructions? How has your intelligence been spoiled in this way? Purport. Prahlad Maharaj was still a boy, and therefore his teachers thought that if they pacified the little boy, he would immediately speak the truth, revealing the secret of how the Vaishnavas came there to teach him lessons in devotional service. It was surprising, of course, that in the same school, the other boys of the Daityas were not polluted. Only Prahlad Maharaj was supposedly polluted by the instructions of the Vaishnavas. The main duty of the teachers was to inquire who those Vaishnavas were that came to teach Prahlad and spoil his intelligence. Buddhi beda parakrita uta ho te svato bhavat banyatam shrotu kamanam gurunam kulavanandana. O best of your family, has this pollution of your intelligence been brought about by you or by the enemies? We are all your teachers, and we are very eager to hear about this. Please tell us the truth. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj's teachers were astonished that a small boy could speak such exalted Vaishnava philosophy. Therefore, they inquired about the Vaishnavas who stealthily taught it to him, in order that these Vaishnavas might be arrested and killed in the presence of Prahlad Maharaj's father, Hiranyakashipu. Text 11. Sri Prahlad Uvacha Parashvaschityasadgraha Pumsamyan Mayayakrata Vimohita Dhyam Drishtas Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinctions of my friend and my enemy by deluding the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am now actually experiencing this, although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources." Purport, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.18, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Ramane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shrapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater outcast. Pandita, those who are actually learned, the equipoised, advanced devotees who have full knowledge of everything, do not see any living entity as an enemy or friend. Instead, with broader vision, they see that everyone is part of Krishna, as confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. Every living entity, being part of the Supreme Lord, is meant to serve the Lord, just as every part of the body is meant to serve the whole body. As servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one, but a Vaishnav, because of his natural humility, addresses every other living entity as Prabhu. A Vaishnav sees other servants to be so advanced that he has much to learn from them. Thus he accepts all other devotees of the Lord as Prabhus, masters. Although everyone is a servant of the Lord, one Vaishnav servant, because of humility, sees another servant as his master. Understanding of the master begins from understanding of the spiritual master. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagatikatopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Sakshad daritvena samasta shastra uktastata bhavyata eva sadbihi kintu praporya priya eva tasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. The spiritual master, the servant of God, is engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, namely delivering all the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya, in which one thinks, this person is my enemy and this one is my friend. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend of all living entities, and all living entities are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. Oneness is possible through this understanding, not through artificially thinking that every one of us is God or equal to God. The true understanding is that God is the Supreme Master, and that all of us are servants of the Supreme Lord, and are therefore on the same platform. This had already been taught to Prahlad Maharaj by his spiritual master, Narada, but Prahlad was nonetheless surprised by how a bewildered soul thinks one person his enemy and the other his friend. As long as one adheres to the philosophy of duality, thinking one person a friend and another an enemy, he should be understood to be in the clutches of Maya. The Mayavadi philosopher who thinks that all living entities are God and are therefore one is also mistaken. No one is equal to God. The servant cannot be equal to the master. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, the master is one and the servants are also one. But the distinction between the master and servant must continue even in the liberated stage. In the conditioned stage, we think that some living beings are our friends, whereas others are enemies, and thus we are in duality. In the liberated stage, however, the conception is that God is the master and that all living entities being servants of God, are one. Text 12. Sayadan nuvrata punsam pashubhudhir vidyate anya esha tatanyoyam iti bheda gatasati. When the Supreme Personality of God is pleased with a living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Purport. When Prahlad Maharaj's teachers and demoniac father asked him how his intelligence had been polluted, Prahlad Maharaj said, as far as I'm concerned, my intelligence has not been polluted, rather by the grace of my spiritual master and by the grace of my Lord Krishna, I have now learned that no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna, but under the influence of the external energy, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of God and his friends and enemies of one another. This mistaken idea has now been corrected, and therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, I no longer think I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Now I am rightly thinking that everyone is an eternal servant of God, and that our duty is to serve the Supreme Master, for then we shall stand on the platform of oneness as servants. Demons think of everyone as a friend or enemy, but Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnav treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable lives in creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. Although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnava feels this oneness. The Ishapanishad advises, Ekatvam Anupashataha. A devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart, and should also see every living entity as an eternal servant of the Lord. This vision is called ekatvam, oneness. Although there is a relationship of master and servant, both master and servant are one because of their spiritual identity. This is also ekatvam. Thus, the conception of ekatvam for the Vaishnava is different from that of the Mayavadi. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj how he had become antagonistic to his family. When a family member is killed by an enemy, all the members of the family would naturally be inimical to the murderer. But Hiranyakashipu saw that Prahlad had become friendly with the murderer. Therefore, he asked, who has created this kind of intelligence in you? Have you developed this consciousness by yourself? Since you are a small boy, someone must have induced you to say this. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to reply that an attitude favorable toward Vishnu can develop only when the Lord is favorable. Sa yadanuvata. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the friend of everyone. Suhridam sarvaputanam yatvamam shantim ruchchati. The Lord is never an enemy to any of the millions of living entities, but is always a friend to everyone. This is true understanding. If one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, his intelligence is pashubuddhi, the intelligence of an animal. He falsely thinks, I am different from my enemy, and my enemy is different from me. The enemy has done this, and therefore my duty is to kill him. This misconception is described in this verse as beta gotasati. The actual fact is that everyone is a servant of the Lord, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivera swarupoi kushnera nityadas. As servants of the Lord, we are one, and there can be no question of enmity or friendship. If one actually understands that every one of us is a servant of the Lord, where is the question of enemy or friend? Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service, but in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hriti sannivishto matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different dictation to the non-devotees and devotees. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service life after life and are punished by the laws of nature. But when a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend, and everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. Text 13. Sa esha atma saparitya bhudibir duratya yanu kramano nirupyate bhujyanti yat vartmani veda vadino pramada yohyesha pinati me matim. Persons who always think in terms of enemy and friend are unable to ascertain the Supersoul within themselves. Not to speak of them, even such exalted persons as Lord Brahma, who are fully conversant with the Vedic literature, are sometimes bewildered in following the principles of devotional service. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead who has created this situation has certainly given me the intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemy. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj admitted frankly, "My dear teachers, you wrongly think that Lord Vishnu is your enemy, but because he is favorable toward me, I understand that he is the friend of everyone. You may think I have taken the side of your enemy, but factually, he has bestowed a great favor upon me." Text 14. Yata brahm yat yayo brahman swayam akshara sandhidau sanidau tata me bidite chetash chakra panir yadruchchaya. O brahmanas, teachers, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically toward the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus I have no independence. Purport. For iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities to be attracted towards Krishna is natural, and therefore the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. The typical examples of such attraction are found in Vrindavan, where everything and everyone is attracted by Krishna. The elderly persons like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, the friends like Sridham, Sudama, and the other cowherd boys, the gopis like Srimati Radharani and her associates, and even the birds, beasts, cows, and calves are attracted. The flowers and fruits in the gardens are attracted. The waves of the Jamuna are attracted. and the land, sky, trees, plants, animals, and all other living beings are attracted by Krishna. This is the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan. Just contrary to the affairs of Vrindavan is the material world, where no one is attracted by Krishna and everyone is attracted by Maya. This is the difference between the spiritual and material worlds. Hiranyakashipu, who is in the material world, was attracted by women and money, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, being in his natural position, was attracted by Krishna. In replying to Hiranyakashipu's question about why Prahlad Maharaj had a deviant view, Prahlad said that his view was not deviant, for the natural position of everyone is to be attracted to Krishna. Hiranyakashipu found this viewpoint deviant, Prahlad said, because of being unnaturally unattracted by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu therefore needed purification. As soon as one is purified of material contamination, he is again attracted by Krishna. Sarvapadi vinirbuktam tatparati nirvalam. In the material world, everyone is contaminated by the dirt of sense gratification and is acting according to different designations, sometimes as a human being, sometimes a beast, sometimes a demigod or tree, and so on. One must be cleansed of all these designations, then one will be naturally attracted to Krishna. The bhakti process purifies the living entity of all unnatural attractions. When one is purified, he is attracted by Krishna and begins to serve Krishna instead of serving Maya. This is his natural position. A devotee is attracted by Krishna, whereas a non-devotee, being contaminated by the dirt of material enjoyment, is not. This is confirmed by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 7:28. Isham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam tidvantva muhanir mukta bhajantimam dridavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are free from duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. One must be freed from all the sinful dirt of material existence. Everyone in this material world is contaminated by material desire. Unless one is free from all material desire, anya bilashita shunyam, one cannot be attracted by Krishna. Text 15. Shri Narada uvacha etavad brahmana yuktva virarama mahamatihi tansani bhartsya kupita sudino raja sevakaha. The great saint Narada Muni continued, the great soul Prahlad Maharaj became silent after saying this to his teachers Shunda and Amarka, the seminal sons of Shukracharya. These so-called brahmanas then became angry at him. Because they were servants of Hiranyakashipu, they were very sorry, and to chastise Prahlad Maharaj, they spoke as follows. Purport. The word Shukra means semen. The sons of Shukracharya were brahmanas by birthright, but an actual brahman is one who possesses the brahminical qualities. The brahmans Shunda and Amarka, being seminal sons of Shukracharya, did not actually possess real brahminical qualifications, for they engaged as servants of Hiranyakashipu. An actual brahmana is very much satisfied to see anyone, not to speak of his disciple, become a devotee of Lord Krishna. Such brahmanas are meant to satisfy the Supreme Master. A brahmana is strictly prohibited from becoming a servant of anyone else, for that is the business of dogs and shudras. A dog must satisfy his master, but a brahmana does not have to satisfy anyone. He is simply meant to satisfy Krishna. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. That is the real qualification of a brahmana. Because Shunda and Amarka were seminal brahmanas and had become servants of such a master as Hiranyakashipu, they unnecessarily wanted to chastise Prahlad Maharaj. Text 16. Aniyantam arebetram asmakam ayashashkaraha kulangarasya durbodes chaturtos yodito damaha. Oh, please bring me a stick. This Prahlad is damaging our name and fame. Because of his bad intelligence, he has become like a cinder in the dynasty of the demons. Now he needs to be treated by the fourth of the four kinds of political diplomacy. Purport. In political affairs, when a person disobediently agitates against the government, four principles are used to suppress him: legal orders, pacification, the offer of a post, or finally, weapons. When there are no other arguments, he is punished. In logic, this is called argumentum ad baculum. When the two seminal Brahmins, Shunda and Amarka, fail to extract from Prahlad Maharaj the cause for his having opinions different from those of his father, they call for a stick with which to chastise him to satisfy their master, Hiranyakashipu. Because Prahlad had become a devotee, they considered him to be contaminated by bad intelligence and to be the worst descendant in the family of demons. As it is said, where ignorance is bliss, it is folly to be wise. In a society or family in which everyone is a demon, for someone to become a Vaishnava is certainly folly. Thus Prahlad Maharaj was charged with bad intelligence because he was among demons, including his teachers, who are supposedly Brahmanas. The members of our Krishna consciousness movement are in a position similar to that of Prahlad Maharaj. All over the world, 99% of the people are godless demons, and therefore our preaching of Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, is always hampered by many impediments. Because of their fault of being devotees, the American boys who have sacrificed everything for preaching Krishna consciousness are charged with being members of the CIA. Moreover, the seminal Brahmins in India, who say that one can become a Brahmin only if born in a Brahmin family, charge us with ruining the Hindu system of religion. Of course, the fact is that one becomes a Brahmana by qualification. Because we are training Europeans and Americans to become qualified and are awarding them brahminical status, we are being charged with destroying the Hindu religion. Nonetheless, confronting all kinds of difficulties, we must spread the Krishna consciousness movement with great determination, like that of Prahlad Maharaj. In spite of being the son of the demon Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad never feared the chastisements of the seminal Brahmin and sons of a demoniac father. 17. Daitya chandana vane jatoyam kantaka dumaha yan mulon mula paroshor Vishnur nalayitor bakaha. This rascal Prahlad has appeared like a thorn tree in a forest of sandalwood. To cut down sandalwood trees, an axe is needed, and the wood of the thorn tree is very suitable for the handle of such an axe. Lord Vishnu is the axe for cutting down the sandalwood forest of the family of demons, and this Prahlad is the handle for that axe. Purport: thorn trees generally grow in deserted places, not in sandalwood forests. But the seminal Brahmin Shunda and Amarka, Brahmanas, Shunda and Amarka, compared the dynasty of the Daitya, Hiranyakashipu, to a sandalwood forest, and compared Prahlad Maharaj to a hard, strong thorn tree that could provide the handle of an axe. They compared Lord Vishnu to the axe itself. An axe alone cannot cut a thorn tree. It needs a handle, which may be made of the wood of a thorn tree. Thus, the thorn tree of demoniac civilization can be cut to pieces by the acts of Vishnu Bhakti, devotional service to Lord Krishna. Some of the members of the demoniac civilization, like Prahlad Maharaj, may become the handle for this axe to assist Lord Vishnu, and thus the entire forest of demoniac civilization can be cut to pieces. 18. Iti tam vivido payer vikshayams tarjanadi bihi paradam grahayam asa trivargasyo papadanam. Shunda and Amarka, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, chastised and threatened their disciple in various ways and began teaching him about the paths of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. This is the way they educated him. Purport: in this verse, the words paradam grahayam asa are important. The words grahayam asa literally mean that they tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the paths of dharma, artha, and kama, religion, economic development, and sense gratification. People are generally preoccupied with these three concerns without interest in the path of liberation. Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, was simply interested in gold and sense enjoyment. The word Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu refers to soft cushions and betting on which people enjoy sense gratification. The word prahlada, however, refers to one who is always joyful in understanding Brahman, Brahmabhuta Prasannatma. Prahlad means Prasannatma, always joyful. Prahlad was always joyful in worshipping the Lord, but in accordance with the instructions of Hiranyakashipu, the teachers were interested in teaching him about material things. Materialistic persons think that the path of religion is meant for improving their material conditions. The materialist goes to a temple to worship many varieties of demigods just to receive some benediction to improve his material life. He goes to a sadhu or so-called swami to take advantage of an easy method for achieving material opulence. In the name of religion, the so-called sadhus try to satisfy the senses of the materialist by showing them shortcuts to material opulence. Sometimes they give some talisman or blessing. Sometimes they attract materialistic persons by producing gold. Then they declare themselves God, and foolish materialists are attracted to them for economic development. As a result of this process of cheating, others are reluctant to accept a religious process, and instead they advise people in general to work for material advancement. This is going on all over the world, not only now, but since time immemorial. No one is interested in moksha, liberation. There are four principles: dharma, religion; artha, economic development; kama, sense gratification; and moksha, liberation. People accept religion to become material opulent. And why should one become materially opulent? For sense gratification. Thus, people prefer these three margs, the three paths of materialistic life. No one is interested in liberation, and Bhagavad Bhakti, devotional service to the Lord, is above even liberation. Therefore, the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is extremely difficult to understand. This will be explained later by Prahlad Maharaj. The teacher Shanda and Amarka tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the materialistic way of life, but actually their attempt was a failure. Text 19. Tate enam guru gyatva, gyatva gneya chatushtayan, daityendram darshayam asa, matrimrishtam alankritam. After some time, the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, thought that Prahlad Maharaj was sufficiently educated in the diplomatic affairs of pacifying public leaders, appeasing them by giving them lucrative posts, dividing and ruling over them, and punishing them in cases of disobedience. Then one day, after Prahlad's mother had personally washed the boy and dressed him nicely, with sufficient ornaments, they presented him before his father. Purport: it is essential for a student who is going to be a ruler or king to learn the four diplomatic principles. There is always rivalry between a king and his citizens. Therefore, when a citizen agitates the public against the king, the duty of the king is to call him and try to pacify him with sweet words, saying, "You are very important in the state. Why should you disturb the public with some new cause for agitation?" If the citizen is not pacified, the king should then offer him some lucrative post as a governor or minister. If the enemy goes on agitating the public, the king should try to create dissension in the enemy's camp. But if he still continues, the king should employ argumentum ad bachelum, severe punishment, by putting him in jail or placing him before a firing squad. The teachers appointed by Hiranyakashipu taught Prahlad Maharaj how to be a diplomat so that he could rule over the citizens very nicely. 20. Pariyo patitam balam pratinan yashisa suraha pariswarja charim dorbhyam paramam apa nirvritam. When Hiranyakashipu saw that his child had fallen at his feet and was offering obeisances, as an affectionate father, he immediately began showering blessings upon the child and embraced him with both arms. A father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very happy in this way. 21. Narada Muni continued, "My dear King Yudhishthira, Hiranyakashipu seated Prahlad Maharaj on his lap and began smelling his head, with affectionate tears gliding down from his eyes and moistening the child's smiling face. He spoke to his son as follows. Purport, if a child or disciple falls at the feet of the father or spiritual master, the superior responds by smelling the head of the subordinate. 22. Hiranyakashipu said, my dear Pallad, my dear son, O long-lived one, for so much time you have heard many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge. Purport, in this verse, Hiranyakashipu inquires from his son what he has learned from his guru. Pralad Maharaj's gurus were of two kinds, Shanda and Amarka. The sons of Shukracharya in the seminal disciplic session were the gurus appointed by his father, but his other guru was the exalted Narada Muni, who had instructed Pralad when Pralad was within the womb of his mother. Pralad Maharaj responded to the inquiry of his father with the instructions he had received from his spiritual master Narada. Thus there was again a difference of opinion because Pralad Maharaj wanted to relate the best thing he had learned from his spiritual master, whereas Hiranyakashipu expected to hear about the politics of diplomacy Pralad had learned from Shanda and Amarka. Now the dissension between the father and son became increasingly intense as Pralad Maharaj began to say what he had learned from his guru, Narada Muni. Now this next purport is one of the great classic purports in this canto, which gives detailed instructions about the nine processes of devotional service. And it's too long to complete, obviously, in the next 3 minutes. But I will read the verse as a preview. Shri Paradu Vacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktishchennavalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavat Yatta Tanmanyeti Tamutamam. Pralad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming a servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Now, we have a special announcement about a new feature we have. Well, it's not new, but it's a feature we haven't used yet. So we're going to take reflections, comments, questions, and so forth. But before we do, the moderator of the event, the moderator of the event, Shradadevi Dasi, is going to make an announcement about how this will take place using our new technology.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you so much for the wonderful reading. So that we can efficiently handle the questions that are being asked, because number of participants is growing every day, I just wanted to let everybody know that we'll be using the queuing system for questions to be placed. And to do that, it's very simple. Just press star 6 and then follow the instructions to be placed into the queue. When it's your time to speak out your question, you will get a proper, appropriate announcement telling you to go ahead on that. So very simple. Please press star 6 to be placed into the queue. And I'm now going to open up the queue.
Okay, so can we hear the points that stuck in your mind?
Gandharika Mataji, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mataji. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I just had one point that I liked, Prabhu, like how Prahlad Maharaj was saying that, Prabhupada in the purport wrote that unnatural unattraction to Krishna. That term is, we are naturally unattracted, but Prabhupada says unnatural unattraction. So,
yeah.
And also I thought about the point where, like, we don't have that many problems as Prahlad Maharaj had, but still we use so many excuses. But how Prabhupada says that in spite of all this, one should push on the movement and give Krishna consciousness to others. And it's so nice to see that we have very nice examples in our temple itself, like who push on in spite of their difficulty. So I pray that we get inspiration from them and follow in their footsteps.
Nice, Kandarvika. Nice point.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, I had marked those that section earlier. It's funny. I'm noticing also that when I go through and read these sections and I make notes and I put in flags and so forth, that oftentimes during our reading that the devotees mention the same places. They apparently are. They stand out. But it seems to be so poetical, some of the ways that Prabhupada writes, unnaturally unattracted. That's fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear some more. It's a churning process. Go right ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Sri Rupanuga Das.
Jai Rupanuga Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Just one observation, and then I have a question from yesterday, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Today, in the first verse, in the purport, Prabhupada says that a brahmana should become the priest of a person interested in the advancement of spiritual culture. In other words, he's saying that a brahmana would not become a priest for atheistic men, criticizing Shukracharya how he accepted Hiranyakashipu as kind of one of his disciples. And later on, throughout the chapter, we are told that a devotee does not discriminate. He is equal to both friends and enemies. I mean, he does not make any friends or enemies. Everybody is equal. Even when he's going out to preach, he treats everyone equally. So I thought this was quite a contrast. And the reason being for the first one is that Shukracharya was doing it for his personal gains, that he had accepted the Hiranyakashipu. He had accepted to become the priest of Hiranyakashipu.
Nice points. Really nice.
And my question from yesterday, Prabhuji, was you mentioned that when we make a Vaishnava aparad, sometimes it carries over to our future births. And my question was, how can we atone for the offenses that we might have committed knowingly or unknowingly in this lifetime to other Vaishnavas?
Yeah, thank you, Rupanuga Prabhu. First of all, just refer to the section of the Madhurika Dambini, one of the sections where Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur first mentions on page 30 of the third nectar shower, where he says someone may argue that he's never made any aparadhas, so why he's not getting the full mercy of the name. He shouldn't make such statements. Maybe he didn't make the aparadhas recently. He may have done them in the past, but one can infer the existence of aparadhas by their effect. The effect is that a person will not manifest any symptoms of prema while doing namkirtan, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadashmasharam hridayam batedam yagrihamani hadiyam madhihyai na vikriyetata yatavikaro netrejalam druheshaharsha. One's heart is certainly still framed if, when chanting the holy name, there is no change of heart, tears in the eyes, or standing of hair on end. And he describes how these unknown offenses, or at least they're unknown to us, are gradually diminished by the process itself, especially the chanting of Hare Krishna. And one must have a repentant attitude about in other words, Lord Chaitanya says, "Durdaivam idrishami hajuni nanuragaha," that he feels unfortunate that I can't get any taste, that I'm cursed, durdaivam. And therefore, one should become very humble and repentant. And Trinadapi Sunichena is the next verse, which is the remedy. And this is also mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Panchasamskar, which he says the first stage in the process of initiation is tapa. And this is a kind of repentance or heat that takes place within the heart of the person who regrets whatever known or unknown offenses he's made. and we, as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is telling us, we should assume that we've made offenses because of our lack of taste. It's a symptom of that. And throughout the book, Madhurya Kadambini, he also tells the different levels of eradication of the past offenses by attainment of the of each successive higher level of advancement in devotional service, and it doesn't become complete until one actually is seeing Krishna face to face and engaging again in his sarup, his natural and his completely liberated stage in his original spiritual body. That's sort of a general summary. Is that okay?
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay, Rupanuga Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
I can.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, we can hear you.
Oh, perfect. I was reading, or rather when you were reading this last night, that we should avoid the envious, and today we were reading about that how the differences between the two, that we should, what was I speaking? I'm just losing my mind. Gosh, I'm blanking out. I can't believe it. But yeah, I was having a hard time relating to is a Vaishnava should treat everybody equally and doesn't see as enemy and friend. And then yesterday we had heard that when a person is envious, we should avoid it. So I was wondering how to relate these two. But then as soon as we read the next line in the purport that Srila Prabhupada mentioned was that we don't have nobody as friend or nobody as enemy. We just give Krishna consciousness to everybody. That made so much sense, and then I could relate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you very much. At the same time, just to clarify a little bit, going back to yesterday's conversation and the question you brought up today, this point that yesterday I was referring to. Several instructions from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that described three levels of devotees. First, the Uttama Adhikari, then the Madhyama Adhikari, then the Kanishta Adhikari. So each of them have different qualifications, and because of their qualifications, they interact with the world differently because of their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the Uttama Adhikari is known by his penchant to see everyone equally. The Madhyama Adhikari actually makes distinctions. And the Kanishta Adhikari is distinguished by his or her only seeing the Lord and not being able to show respect to devotees or other living entities, not seeing them as part and parcel of Krishna. So an Uttama Adhikari, one who sees all living entities equally and doesn't see friends and enemies, in order to preach Krishna consciousness, comes down to the Madhyama Adhikari platform and does make discrimination, because there's a way in which one must practically discriminate between who's qualified or who's not in order to present Krishna consciousness properly. However, in a general sense, even the Madhyama Adhikari understands that all living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna, and appreciates, you know, everyone, even the person who may be demoniac. He just sees that they're not ready yet. But it's not his duty to try to intervene or convince the
the person who is unwilling to take to Krishna consciousness. In fact, this is one of the offenses against the chanting of the holy name, and that is to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. So those who are faithless, those who are envious and so forth, are fit to be avoided for the time being until their fever comes down a little bit.
Yeah, that makes it even more clearer. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Okay. Thank you for your point. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, I just wanted to mention that if you want to ask questions once again, you can press star 6 to get onto the queue. And I'm going to move to the next question, and that is from Prabhas Prabhu. Prabhas Prabhu, please go ahead.
Hi. Dhanavad Guru Maharaj and all the devotees out there. Two thoughts came in my mind. One is we read in the school, you know, which just struck my mind, like, you know, truth will set you free. So Prahlad Maharaj stood on the truth, a platform, and he was not scared. He was bold, and he was set free. And the other thing which came in my mind, which I brought up a few weeks back, is humble but confident. So in spite of all the threats and all those things, he was humble but confident and did not yield to all the threats or temptations which was put on him. So those two things come in my mind. You know, truth will set you free, and humble but confident.
Very nice, precise points. Thank you very much, Prabhas.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
I just reached my place.
Jai. Okay, let's have some more points.
So, Guru Maharaj, I just wanted to make one point there. In verse number 7.5.5, in the first verse, it says that one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. And I was actually focusing more on the word unflinching devotional faith in Krishna. Mm-hmm. And that it kind of ties to ties to the fact that
Oops. You still there?
I'm just trying to see if somebody's going.
Hari Bol, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, 1 second. Just hold 1 second because Shraddha is just finishing her point. And we'll take yours just a second.
Yeah. So I was saying that when you look at the life of Prahlad Maharaj, he had so many situations where one could flinch. And that was the test of to make sure that he had unflinching devotional service. So sometimes when we have so much of problems in our life, we should just take it as, you know, a test that Krishna is putting us to, that our devotional service is really unflinching.
Nice.
I mean, how will we otherwise say that the devotional service is unflinching until we get a situation to flinch, and then we don't flinch there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Hari Bol, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
yes,
you.
Yes, Rubinathaji.
Okay. Finally, I got you to hear me. Anyways, what I was thinking was today we had a baby shower, and so Prahlad Maharaj, he had his first guru as Narad Muni. So this was the first guru's, what he accepted all that. So no matter what guru was eventually given to him, his father tried to change him. He could not, because he was steadfast in whatever he had already learned in the womb.
Yeah, nice point, Ruby. Really nice point.
Thank you.
That vibration is so powerful that even within the womb, the child will absorb it. In fact, in the Vedic samskar, the Garbhadhan samskar, even the vibration at the time of the conception is important. How subtle is the living entity that he actually imbibes that feeling, the vibration that's there at the time of conception. What to speak of in the womb, yes. Nice.
Dhanyavad Pranam Maharaj. I like made a couple of points, but the first one is in the fourth verse, in which like when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, like very simply, like what you learn, then he very simply, and he knows everything. And then Prabhupada quotes like how like he was challenged by so many scientists and philosophers, but by the grace of Krishna we emerged successful. So it was so evident like how Prabhupada really so successfully has gone, because he was a pure devotee of the Lord, and it really makes so much valuable that Prabhupada has quoted that verse. In the Vedas, it is said, Yasmin Vigyat Sarvam Evam Vigyat Bhavati. If one properly understands God, he can understand any subject matter very nicely. So that was very, very nice.
Nice.
And second point I like regarding the book distribution, that in the seventh verse, how Hiranyakashipu comments, there may be some Vaishnavas who may go there to disguise. In that Prabhupada comments, that how during the book distribution sometime, like how people may chastise you then, but go on with your activity, don't get disturbed, because this was also happening.
Well, that was a very important purport, because in the beginning of book distribution, devotees used to go out in dhotis all the time. And then some devotees started experimenting by dressing up in regular clothes, so that they could go into places they normally couldn't get into, because they would be spotted right away. And one of the leaders of the movement complained to Prabhupada and said that the devotees are becoming hippies again, because they're putting back on these other clothes. And so Prabhupada wrote to Karandar in Los Angeles, where the devotees were doing this to sneak around and be undercover. And he said, immediately stop it. Don't let these hippie seeds come back in. And then he wrote back to Prabhupada saying that, Prabhupada, this is actually increasing book distribution dramatically, and that if we stop this, then book distribution will go back down again. So then Prabhupada wrote back again, and he said, okay, then continue the – you can allow them to wear these clothes. And then he came out with this purport to really confirm it for all time, that we're utilitarian in the way we dress. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself changed his dress in order to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, and we also follow in the footsteps. And so Prabhupada brought it out in this interesting purport about how we dress up in order to be able to go undercover in certain ways to spread Krishna consciousness. It's a historic purport.
Thank you, Maharaj, for giving complete
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, and again, in the same purport, Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit saying that if an honest person deals with a great cheater, it is necessary for him to become a cheater also, not for the purpose of cheating, but to make his preaching successful. And I was thinking that we come across a lot of this when we go out for book distribution, especially in a corporate environment. Like if people are alcoholics, would you become an alcoholic, or would you start, you know, going out with them? So how do we guard ourselves against this while we are going on book distribution?
The really good japa.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guard yourself against being infected by the mentality and habits of others when you go out to preach?
Yes.
Well, you know, there was some rumor going around for some time when Prabhupada was here that people were saying, because we were shaking hands with people on Sankirtan, we were taking on their karma. And Prabhupada, there may have even been a letter about this, but he gave a very specific instruction. He said that the devotees are not being contaminated by others when they're going out. They're giving their association to others. They're not taking it. And so that's one point, is when we go out, to execute the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness were protected by the internal energy. At the same time, as in all cases, we should be careful and not catch the enjoying spirit. The best way to do that is to be very strict in one's own sadhana, because sadhana gives us a taste that protects us from the enjoying spirit. We're getting a higher taste from chanting japa, for instance. If we experience real, genuine humility and the sense of fulfillment that we get from chanting Hare Krishna, when we really do upasana, it means we sit really close to the holy name and fully concentrate, give our attention in that way, then Krishna protects us. And once a devotee said to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, Maya is so strong. And Prabhupada said, Maya is not so strong, you're so weak. He said, so if you, he said, just like if you take care of your health and you have good diet, good exercise, enough rest, then you won't fall sick. And so similarly, he said that if you protect yourself spiritually, you fortify yourself, then you also won't fall into Maya.
Thank you, Maharaj. And I had one more question on, while I'm waiting for other people to join on the queue. In 7.5.11, the what says, understanding of the master, which is Krishna, begins from understanding of the spiritual master. So can you elaborate more on what is meant by understanding the spiritual master? Is it understanding his goals or understanding his instructions or...
Well, Prabhupada says in one of his instructions that a person should understand the mission of the spiritual master. One who understands the mission of his spiritual master and imbibes that same mission, then he also becomes qualified to pass it on to others. So understanding comes from submissive service and inquiry and pranipat. Being, putting one's head down before the teacher, and then he can imbibe that. And, yeah, that it really means understanding the mood. And also, one sees within the spiritual teacher the ideal that one is actually after. If one is taking the spiritual life sincerely, then he or she begins to develop a desire to advance. And that's relatively intuitive because, as we heard several times in these purports, Tesham satata yuktanam pajatam prittipurvakam dadami putiyogam tam yenamam upayantite. Krishna is the one providing intelligence from within, and he's also arranging for us to meet spiritual guides. And as we do, we have a sense that when we meet somebody who's a bona fide spiritual guide, it resonates with the same instruction we're getting from Krishna within the heart. That's why it's such a powerful experience that cannot be denied. And we see our ideal within that person, and then we render service, and we feel our connection naturally through that service, and we're able to experience Krishna's qualities coming through that person also.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. So, I'm looking at the queue, and at this time, we don't have anybody in the queue.
Okay. Can we unmute? Is everybody unmuted? Can we unmute everybody?
No, I'm unmuting everybody right now.
Okay.
Yes, everybody's unmuted at this time.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, everyone, for joining tonight. For this vibration, was it nice? Did you enjoy hearing the Bhagavatam tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice is an understatement.
Okay. Well, we'll pick it up again very soon. I'm trying to figure out where to wedge it in next and keep the vibration flowing. But we'll send out the invitation as soon as we get that figured out. And until that time, keep the vibration going wherever you are. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Vancha kalpataruvascha kripasunabhavacha paditanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Can everyone please say Hare Krishna?
Hare
Krishna. Gaur premanande Hare Hare Bo.
Hare Hare Bo.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.